They waited till the speck that was the limper vanished against the dark loom of the city's walls. Then they all moved forward, marching toward doom or destiny, in a gradually widening line abreast. Chapter 70. Smed sat in the icy shadow, shivering, unable to stop. His stomach felt hollow. It ached. He was scared. He hoped it was the cold and hunger, but was afraid it was the first bite of cholera. The air was filled with smoke and the stench of bodies being burned. Death had reaped a rich harvest during the night. Few who were not soldiers had eaten well in days. Disease made easy headway in bodies already weakened. He watched the bridge up the ditch and wondered if fish would ever come, and what he would do if fish didn't. Then he sat there and gradually convinced himself that he was the last of the four of them, possessed of the greatest treasure in the world, and so poor he was forced to live in a sewer like a rat. He scavenged through his pack for the dozenth time, looking for some scrap of food that might have gotten into it somehow. Again he found nothing but the gold and silver he had brought out of the Barrowland. A fortune. And he would have given it all for a good meal, a warm bed, and confidence that the great terrors of the world had forgotten his name. He started. Daydreaming, he had not noticed the two men come onto the bridge. One looked like fish. He made the signal he was supposed to make before he walked away from the other, who stayed where he was. Smeds shoved his pack into a gap in the culvert wall, where some of the building stone had fallen away and high water had washed out some of the earth behind. Then he ran toward the light at the nether end, 100 yards away. Midway he stumbled over a corpse that the rats had been at for a while. He had become so inured to horror that he just went on, giving it hardly a thought. He rushed out the other end, floundered through drifted snow, and hurried around to where he was supposed to meet fish, masked from the man on the bridge by a hump of earth 6 feet high. Fish was carrying a sizable blue canvas bag. "Is it safe?" Smeds croaked. "Looks like they'll play square. This is the first third, along with some food and clothes and blankets and stuff I thought you could use." Smeds' mouth watered, but he asked, "What now?" "You go out on the bridge. Get the second third. Tell him where to find the spike. I watch from cover. He messes with you, I hunt him down and kill him. Go on. Let's get it done." Smeds looked at the old man a moment, shrugged, went off to meet the man on the bridge. He was calmer than he'd expected to be. Maybe he was getting used to the pressure. He was still pleased with himself for not having bent for a moment while the rebels had him. The man on the bridge leaned on the rail, staring at nothing. He glanced at Smeds incuriously as he approached. Another blue bag leaned against his leg. Smeds sidled up and planted his forearms on the rail on the other side of the bag.